discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell.
Well, when we talk about preparing for retirement, the conversation is almost always about making sure our finances are in order and that we have a money strategy to get there. While that's absolutely a vital part of the equation, there are often forgotten aspects of retirement that, if left unaddressed, can cause what should be the best years of your life to turn into some of the most disappointing. In Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America, Ben Tages pulls back the curtain on a reality that lies just beyond age 65. He traces the surprising roots of retirement that spring from the days of Otto von Bismarck in a cultural context that differs greatly from our own. And he untangles the web of misinformation and unmet expectations to shed light on the path to making retirement the most fulfilling years of your life by living a life repurposed for impact on the lives of others. Ben Tages is the founder and CEO of Tages Financial Group, a leading retirement planning firm with two offices in West Central Minnesota. And he joins us today on the road. Greetings and a great day to you, Ben.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Fascinatingly enough, what set you on this journey, I understand, was the giving of what you consider to be the worst retirement advice that you've ever delivered. Can you take us back there?
It was probably about 3 to 5 years ago. I was visiting with a new client who came into our retirement planning firm here, and he was 62, looking to really have us do a preliminary feasibility study. Could he retire at 65? And I ran the numbers, financially figured he could retire right now. He didn't have to wait until 65. And kind of surprisingly, he took my advice and turned in his two-week notice and came back into my office saying, Ben, I took your advice. I'm now retired. So, and that sounds great, and I thought it was great, and financially, I think it was the right decision. But when he came into our office 3 months later, I knew it was the worst advice I'd ever given.
What was it that made you reach that conclusion?
Well, just looking at my client, I'm going to call him Jim like I do in the book, and Jim looked like a completely different person. We looked as if he had aged more in years, not months. He looked visibly slower. Just the look on his face, I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what at that point, but through our conversations that followed, I knew that I had really shortchanged him on those last 3 years of working, which I think he would have slowly and more methodically, hopefully, kind of went through all of these other pieces of retirement. We had handled the finances, and basically his bank account was ready for retirement, but he was not mentally, physically. He was not there, and that totally changed how we do things today in our firm.
When you started to consider that conclusion and you started looking around you, how widespread did you feel like this need for this new message about a different kind of retirement planning really was?
More and more of my clients, I started to see that they not necessarily were struggling, but I kept seeing the uncertainty that they were having coming into retirement. And from a financial standpoint, we've always been very good. I feel like we do a good job of stewarding our clients' assets and making sure that we're minimizing the risks and doing all these financial things. But the other piece of it was too important to ignore any longer. And I see it all the time. And as we brought this message out to the public and with the book now, I'm having people come up to me all the time and say, you know, I can't wait to read your book because I think I'm that guy you've been talking about in your pre-book marketing and stuff. We're talking about this guy named Jim, and they're like, I think that's me, you know. And it's a bigger deal than I think most of people in my profession realize. I think we need to look at the whole person versus just, you know, the bank account and the financial numbers.
That's fascinating stuff. Ben Tagus is with us. He's the author of Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America, and the founder and CEO of Tagus Financial Group. Before we dig into some of the specifics here, Ben, I know that the faith element of this was very significant to you. Can you express why your faith really drives you to want people to really live their fullest in each stage of life, including retirement?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I think there's this element of legacy in retirement, too, that we tie into in the book a lot. And that's something that's really, really important to me is, you know, what am I doing right now? How am I impacting the lives of the people around me? How am I leading? How am I, you know, being and showing Christ's love to those around me? So it's been a really cool thing to see, you know, God work in this whole story from the very beginning, to see him kind of orchestrate the people in my life to help me get this going. And even the stories and the things that come apart in the book are, you know, it's been really cool seeing God work.
Well, that's I had to think as I read. I mean, that's a pretty special purpose that has become part of your life now, which is to equip other people to live with even greater purpose. That's a pretty special goal.
Yeah, it is. And everything we're doing now in the company ties back to, you know, this mission statement of inspiring true wealth, Ryan. And what we're talking about there is what's truly important to a person. And we have found, as a financial firm, most of the time, those things that are most important to a person are things money cannot buy. And things that, if we're putting our hope, you know, in the right place, and of course, you and most of your listeners are going to agree that the only thing to put your hope in that will not let you down, you know, is God and is our relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, well said. Well said. You discuss at length something called the showroom effect, Ben, and you say that the showroom effect can leave many retirees disappointed about what their after work life looks like. Can you dig into that a little bit?
Yeah. The showroom and even that, you know, really tie into the book started from when I was a young man. I had, and really that's where this whole story starts, is I was a fourth grade young boy working on a farm with my parents, and most of my summers were exactly how you'd hope as a kid. You know, I had to do some chores because I grew up on a farm, but of course got most of the summer off, and my uncle had given me a hand-me-down kind of relic of a dirt bike. It worked, but barely. Okay. It was one of these really old enduro motorcycles. It started most of the time, you know, it had the seats were torn and, you know, it was dented and it wasn't that great, but I got to ride it nearly every day. And towards the end of that summer, something shifted inside of me. A couple buddies of mine ended up getting, dirt bikes that were newer than mine, nicer than mine. They didn't have those, you know, dents in the gas tank and the rip in the seat.
Sure.
And I kind of lost this contentment in my spirit and started wanting what they had. And towards the end of that summer, I'd convinced my dad to take me into buy a motorcycle, a new one for myself. And what ended up happening is he had ended up loaning me some money to go buy this new dirt bike. And I walked into that showroom, and it was everything I thought it would be at that point. It was this perfect motorcycle underneath the lights, and, you know, the new car smell, only, you know, this was a motorcycle for a kid, so this was even better.
Mm-hmm.
And had to have it. So I convinced him to loan me the money. And for those next couple summers, I worked and really couldn't enjoy this motorcycle because I was working off this loan. I'd figured out what it was like to be a debtor. And I think how it ties back to this book and how it ties back to retirement is sometimes things aren't what we think they're going to be. We get caught up in this showroom effect of someday, you know, I'll get this. And many times that someday, whatever that is, whether it be retirement or that new car or that house or whatever it might be, can let you down really easy. And getting too caught up in living for something like that is too oftentimes a disappointment.
Profound stuff. I think we can all identify with that right there from Mr. Ben Tagus, who joins us on the road today. He's the author of the new book, Repurposed: The Untold Story of Retirement in America, and the founder and CEO of Tagus Financial Group. Another concept that I found pretty intriguing was the phrase guardrails. And you say that the disappearance of the guardrails of a traditional job, a 9-to-5, can affect the quality of someone's retirement. Can you take us inside that as well?
Yeah. One of the things that I think we don't appreciate in our working years is structure in our lives. And that comes across, we call them guardrails, but like it or not, whether or not you've been self-employed or working for somebody else, whatever your career looked like, you had guardrails around you, things that were kind of guiding you into what your day looked like. Your employer told you, you need to be at work at a certain time. You need to take so much vacation. You need to be, your days need to look in a certain way. And I think when those go away, for some people, if you're not prepared in retirement, and if you're not thinking through, it can cause actually a lot of stress with newly retired clients. We've seen it before where all of a sudden somebody is sleeping later than they used to. They're, really not having that system in place that keeps them, really fulfilled and doing more than just hobbies. Hobbies are great, and these things that we can spend more time with in retirement, but we need to have some structure in our lives. And I think when we take that away from our working years, we can oftentimes be left kind of confused and actually more stressed out than where we were before.
This question is a little bit out of left field, but alongside that, I've heard it said, and I found it so intriguing when I heard this, that in some ways, the two most dangerous years in a person's life are the year that they're born and the year that they retire. Is that what you have seen as well in your work?
I think so, Ryan. I think it's an important enough point in a person's life that, I think it's right up there. There's probably a few other really big days in a person's life, but one thing about retirement is you only get to do it once. You can go back to work, but really that first try, you need to be prepared. And we have seen people spend, more time planning a vacation than they do their whole retirement. Maybe not the financial aspect. There's a business around that. There's a whole industry around getting people ready for retirement for financial reasons. But we spend very little time on these other aspects, which, quite frankly, if we don't get them right, the amount of money somebody has and what they've saved won't matter. It just won't, because they will not be able to enjoy those last years.
Man, that's fascinating stuff. Well, I am a history geek, Ben, and so the time that you spent in the book tracing the history of the concept of retirement, I very much enjoyed. And you explore how it goes back to the time of the German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck. Why did you find that history so instructive?
Well, I found, and I'm not a big history guy, but when it comes to retirement, I do find it fascinating. And I think what's fascinating to me is back when we first started to see this idea of retirement, it was a completely different thing than what it was today. Most significantly, people were living, you know, 20, 30, 40 years shorter lifespan.
Right.
So, and they had kind of stuck on this age 65 or actually age 70 number, and most people weren't living that long, okay? And this is back in 1889 was the first start. And the reason behind it was more out of, you know, and I'll quote this German emperor, William I, wrote, those who are disabled from work by age and invalidity have well-grounded claim to care from the state. So really what they, the reason behind starting this idea of retirement was out of necessity. Hmm. It was that they could not work any longer. It was not what we start to see today. We trace it a little bit further than that. But today, we see people retiring not because they can't work or because they're, for many of them, it's because I'm 65. And 65 is when people retire. Even Social Security Administration gives us a full retirement age of, you know, for most people, it's a little over 66. And I think too often people look at the age. They don't necessarily look at their life. Absolutely, there's people that are needing to retire because they're tired and their bodies are worn out. But many times people make that decision based on a system that really wasn't designed for as long and as healthy as people are living today.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting stuff. A look back into the initial stages of what we consider retirement to be. You paint a picture of the ideal in retirement that is this healthy balance between rest, service, and contentment. Can you talk a little bit more about that vision?
Yeah, and I think, you know, our goal in the book was really to really help the reader prepare for retirement with two big ideas, fulfillment and well-deserved rest. There's nothing wrong with retiring and spending some downtime, spending some time enjoying hobbies and you know, being rewarded for years of hard work. But our take and my feeling on it is that the only way to get true rest, this is the kind of rest that, you know, is more of a contentment rest, you know, something that is deeper than just a sometimes a shallow hobby. Hmm. It's being fulfilled, and you cannot get that full, deep rest without some fulfillment there, okay? And by looking only at ourselves, which sometimes retirement can look almost a selfish thing. You know, I'm going to retire because I work so hard all these years.
Yeah.
If it becomes about ourselves, I think that's when we really see the biggest problems. So in order to have that well-deserved rest, we still have to have things in our lives, whether that be your grandkids or whether that be working for a nonprofit or whatever that might be, getting more involved in your church. Your restful days will be that much better, more fulfilling, because you have these, you know, these things in your life that go beyond yourself. And really they feed on each other, right? Because then you're well rested and you're like, well, what can I do next? How can I help? What
yeah.
can I? How can I add value to society? How can I impact others for Christ? And then I'm feeling good about it and I can rest. And they really feed on each other. And I think they tie together really well.
Ben Tages is the author of Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America, the founder and CEO of Tages Financial Group, here today on the road. And as we continue to look at the concept of purpose, which is one of the really the main themes of the book, you stress this notion of methodically creating purpose in retirement. And one of the things alongside that I found interesting was you talked about the importance of practicing retirement while you're still working. What do you mean by that?
Well, really, we've learned that primarily from working with some clients who are teachers. And over the years, I have found that teachers have this ability to retire probably better than anyone we've seen. And looking at their lives while working, I think helps shed a little bit of light on why they're so good at it. They have had, unless they have summer employment, but even if they do, they aren't in their normal classroom setting for the summer. So they become really like talent chameleons throughout their lives. So they work hard and they pour into our kids, right? And then summer comes, they're able to take some time off, whether that be a couple of months, they do a little traveling, some of them get other part-time jobs and they do other things, but they're able to kind of practice what this feeling looks like in retirement. And then they retire really, really well. So they've practiced. They've been able to try it. Now, you don't have to take 3 months off every year. We're certainly not advocating that. But I think we as a, you know, in society in America, we don't really embrace sometimes what it's like to take time off and to have some boundaries in our lives. And we'll often hear people say, we come to the office like, oh, yeah, you're taking some time off. It's like, boy, I'd love that. Almost like, well, you're taking time off and, you know, you're not as good as me because I'm working, you know, 60 or 70 hours.
Yeah.
And then we think we're going to retire and flip that switch and just stop working. And we've never really tried it while we're living. I mean, I want, while people are working, to be able to walk away. Certainly in those last few years, we've got clients right now that have kind of slowly slowed down and are taking, you know, a month off every year. And they're kind of practicing, kind of feeling this thing out as to how it will look. But that can start in your 30s, 40s, whatever, making sure that you're embracing time off from your day job.
Hmm. We have just several minutes left in what's been a fascinating discussion really about retirement and its real purpose and the impact it can have with Ventages. I think, you know, in closing, one of the last questions would just be this concept of repurposing our lives to impact others. How do we really take the first steps towards that?
That's a good question. You know, I think you look inward, number one. I think we know that we were all created to add value to society. We were all created to have a cause greater than ourselves. And I think it starts right there. We start to look at what we can do in these last stages of our lives to really impact others. It doesn't have to be a great big thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, volunteering, you know, or starting an orphanage or something like that. We can just put little ripples and we never know where they're going to go, right? And I think there's no group of people better suited to make a great difference in our world for God's kingdom than retirees. I was recently sitting in church service, and sometimes I will admit I will daydream from time to time. And my pastor was preaching on the parable of the talents. And Matthew 25, of course, it talks about you know, these three servants who were entrusted different levels of talents and what they did with them.
Yeah.
And I know the sermon wasn't about this, but my mind left the sermon a little bit, and I kept seeing my clients. I kept seeing these baby boomers today. And I cannot think of a greater group of people which have more talent to do more good than baby boomers. They've got time. They've got decades of wisdom. They've got financial resources just to be able to make the decision on not having to go to work. They've been given so much. So we look at them to say, let's make a difference going forward. Let's repurpose, look beyond ourselves, balance it with rest, of course, but look at what's next and become repurposed in retirement.
Well, great words to close a great discussion with Mr. Ventages, the author of Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America, and the founder and CEO of Tages Financial Group. And as we do say farewell, Ben, we don't want to leave without giving you a chance to tell us where we can go to learn more about you, your business, and of course, to buy the book as well.
Yeah, appreciate that, Ryan. We have a website, retirerepurposed.com. Take you right to the book, an opportunity to read the book, purchase the book there. I would love to have, just that impact on some people that I'll never meet. I think that's the cool part, and why I appreciate you getting me on your show today. There's people that hopefully will hear this, and I may never meet them, but hopefully we can impact their lives.
Well, it's been an honor to have you. It's been great to hear your passion and the heart behind it. Ben, thanks for being with us today on the road.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.